point, Nolan offered. We did manage to take one out. It only took about 500 rounds with an automatic rifle. We're gonna need to replace a wall. Great, Marshall commented. Anyone else gotten anywhere close to a flag? Sanderson is snaking his way through the room, Dylan commented. He's taken some intense shocks, but isn't stopping.
Excuse me, mind if I slide past you? Addie asked as she nonchalantly strolled by.
What the fuck?
Graves asked. Oh, sorry. Y'all are taking too long. We're hungry. I was sent in for grub. She waved at the camera that had been firing lasers at them the past hour and a half.
Okay, that's nuts, Dylan muttered into the comm. Cord, how the hell can that thing fire lasers at us, but not even blink when Addie comes strolling past?
I'm telling you, the damn things are sentient, or as close to it as I've ever seen. They're using real-time facial scanning as part of their defensive protocols. Anyone in the system is ignored, more than likely, he answered.
So hack into it and put us in there, Marshall ordered.
Yeah, I'll just saddle up my unicorn, shimmy over the rainbow, and get right on that.
They aren't soldiers. They're computer people. We have to think like them,
Graves said.
Draw the damn thing's fire. We're getting that flag right now.
Dylan shot out from around the corner, drew his weapon, and settled it against Addie's temple. He held the woman close against his front. The camera whirred, focused, but didn't fire.
You're gonna regret doing that,
Addie commented dryly.
Move,
he growled. They charged into the final room, the mess hall where the rest of his men were pinned like bugs. Gage was squirming his way toward the flag, but was too far away to have any real success.
Stand down, Sanderson.
The man had taken too many shots from the drones as it was. He hauled Addie forward as he went, gun to her temple.
You've got balls, she muttered.
I'm almost sorry I have to do this. She struck before he knew which way was up. His back slammed against the floor, fingers squeezed his throat. Then she was gone. Sanderson pressed a gun to her head and shoved her forward. Graves was on his six. The two walked her forward.
Raise it, Gage ordered.
Fuck you, she spat.
Do it,
he repeated.
I'm not in the best moods, lady.
Fine, whatever. She pushed the button, and the bell sounded. The cameras blinked, then silence. No whirring, no buzzing. Son of a bitch. They'd found a hole. Dylan suspected it was the only one. Relieved his team had succeeded, he patted them on their backs, and they all headed outside. No one cheered or talked smack. They were former spec ops. They'd gotten lucky, plain and simple. Everyone in his crew knew that. He wandered to the women, felt a moment's regret as he saw the utter devastation and shock on Mary and Vi's faces. Heads together, they whispered to one another. Tears swam in Mary's eyes, and he wanted to fucking shoot himself. She looked up, past him, and ran full speed to Addie.
I'm sorry, I'm so, so sorry. I didn't see that as a solution. I should have known. I'm sorry. God, you would have gotten shot.
She squeezed the other woman harder, repeating the apology.
Hey, Edge, Addie shook Mary. Stop. This was an exercise, the first time you've run the program, ever. Give yourself a fucking break. You've got the very best people on this, and only one team has gotten through after hours of trying. Do you have any idea how awesome that is?
Mary wiped her eyes.
I'm the one who's sorry. They were minutes from crumbling and admitting defeat. I fucked up. I got cocky and wandered in to show off how kick-ass brilliant Hera was. That flag is on me, not you. Not Vi, me. Okay? Addie looked around at the women. Dylan's respect for Addie raised tenfold. Now, get back over there and make sure they don't get that opening again, okay? Addie motioned them away.
Chapter 10. They'd won 3 of the 4 flags. Mary smiled at Vi, who was whooping and hollering her way through the gathered Arsenal personnel. The one loss they took today was one she had gathered extremely critical intel from. She'd already plotted countermeasures and had a list of questions drawn up to go over with Dylan and a couple of other people, whoever he recommended. Every operative handled situations like that differently, so she wanted enough opinions to see all potential solutions, not just those her limited focus provided. She couldn't believe she hadn't thought of a human shield scenario. Not once had it crossed her mind. Yet, it was almost a basic training-level maneuver. One Dylan's team found. She took a certain amount of pride in the fact he'd won the flag, not his brothers. They slapped him on the back and taunted him about having inside information. Heat rose in her cheeks as the men all focused on her. Marshall stepped up and tapped her shoulder with a gentle fist bump.
Hell of a good defense system, ladies. That's the most impressive thing I've ever seen. Yeah, little brother here is gonna be following you two around drooling. Don't mind him. He's in the shock and awe stage of his worship.
Nolan teased. All the information Betty and Hera gathered from today is beyond valuable. Mary said, projecting her voice loud enough for everyone to hear. This was the first time we've set up and run the system full out, and we couldn't have picked a better crew for it. You all put Hera through the paces and found quite a few holes we need to seam up. I'm going to need some feedback from the teams. We're back office and don't always think like you since we aren't in the field all the time. I'd appreciate whatever time and information you can provide. Most of the men nodded. Dylan grinned.
So, since Hera kicked your asses, how about you get a chance to kick back?
Vi asked.
Addie helped Mary and I get the offensive demonstration prepared. She's going to walk the team leaders through the infield gear and drone capabilities. Then we can get started after everyone's back from lunch. Sound good?
1 hour, everyone. Team leads, hang back. That includes you, Graves.
Dylan added. Vi and Mary sat with Addie and the Arsenal team leads and walked through the various components of the infield systems, including the personnel assessment and real-time flagging. Riley and her mom took Bree and Rhea to the mess hall. Mrs. Mason had sat beside she and Vi during the entire exercise, but hadn't said much. Mary wasn't sure if that was a good thing or not. By the time the show-and-tell portion of the day was over, Mary was exhausted. While everyone grabbed lunch, she opted for a nap to stave off the worst of the weariness. Although long days with little sleep were a common occurrence in her profession, she was healing and needed more rest. Drinking the night before hadn't been the smartest thing to do. The rest of the afternoon would fly by quickly, though, because boys playing with their toys tended to get rowdy, especially when in friendly competition with one another. Dylan and his brothers decided to keep everyone in the same teams from earlier and go head-to-head. Each team would have the same gear and take turns penetrating each other's zones. Offensive versus defensive capabilities. Vi and Addie had worked with the other women and gotten everything set up for the afternoon exercises. Now that she was awake and a bit more energized, She headed toward the remnants of the lunch table. Dylan stood there, arms crossed over his massive chest. He flashed a smile when Mary approached.
Feeling better?
Yeah, she admitted. I see Arsenal operatives are like the ones at the Hive, vultures when lunch comes around.
Good thing I thought ahead.
He held out a hand.
Come on, let's go eat.
I should stay here, check a few things out so everything's ready for later, she argued.
Remember what I made you promise, that you'd give me the comm when I asked.
I never promised, she whispered back. He smiled, but took her hand and dragged anyway. He did that sort of thing more often now, touching, holding. Mary tried to ignore the butterflies, the way her breath hitched every time he flashed the disarming smile. But it was getting harder and harder to remember why she needed to be careful. Dylan Mason wasn't her kind of man. Women like her stood zero chance of surviving the fallout his loss created. She hadn't been woman enough to keep men like Dean satisfied. She had a snowball's chance in a lava pit to keep Dylan on the hook longer than a few dates.
This isn't a date, idiot. He's feeding you. You're his charge, nothing more.
When they entered the barn, curiosity won over requisite silence. Horses whined and nickered from a connected pasture not too far away. She wasn't sure how she expected a barn to smell, but this one was almost clean, well tended. Dylan did the cowboy whistle thing she'd seen in movies a time or two. A gorgeous black beast came charging up. He stroked the gorgeous animal a few times, then looked over.
You ever ridden a horse before?
Me? He looked around.
No one else here.
No, Mary gulped. She so wanted to, though. I'd probably screw up or be too nervous and make him jittery.
Peanut doesn't rattle easily.
You have a horse named Peanut? Mary couldn't help it. The laughter tumbled out. Crimson rose in his cheeks. He escorted Peanut into a large area she assumed was a grooming area, and he began brushing the horse. Her heart thundered wildly. Why was she here?
He was born while I was in the service. Riley took one look at him and declared he was mine, but everyone considers him more hers.
Dylan set the brush aside and hefted a saddle onto the horse's back.
I'd been home a few weeks before that because of an injury, so I must have been on her mind. She was pretty young back then, and it was summertime, which meant she got bored easily. Mom would make her a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for a mid-morning snack every day.
He smiled and started working the saddle's straps around Peanut's big belly.
It took Mom a few days to figure it out, but little Riles came to the stable every day and sat in Peanut's stall, feeding him the sandwich. She'd ramble on the entire time. We were all overseas, so it was just her, Mom, and Dad. I guess that's how she coped. She didn't want to overload them with whatever scared a little sister about all six of her brothers being gone. Riles doesn't scare easily. Peanut here got it all.
Mary smiled and swiped the tears from her eyes. How sweet. She could imagine a young blonde girl whispering her secrets and fears to the amazing creature before her. How much had Peanut heard?
His name was changed to Peanut when Dad heard, said he couldn't imagine a better name. Riles brought each of us out to meet him when we came home on leave. She always mentioned he was a great listener, as if she sensed we had troubles to offload. Every now and then, we see her wander into the barn, with a sandwich and figured she was visiting an old friend.
Her heart squeezed when he turned and faced her. She leaned forward when he cupped her face.
You were amazing today, Mary. You continue blowing me away with everything you can do. How brilliant your mind is. But you're more than Hera and what you do. I know you're probably nervous about talking with the doctor in the morning. So I wanted you to see there's more ways to offload than with someone. Though I want to be the someone you feed your troubles to.
Dylan's mouth swept across hers, a gentle glide that warmed her insides as though she was atop a campfire. No one was around. She set her hands on his hard chest and groaned. Her hands wandered to his muscular back and drew him closer until he molded against her and swept his arms around her. She delved, tasting his mouth with wild abandon. Definitely not boring or awkward. Pleasure beaded through her bloodstream, landmines waiting to implode. She wanted more, the glide of his mouth across her neck, his hands on her body. The kiss ended before she wanted. Come to think of it, nothing was as she expected when it came to Dylan. Kissing and touching had always been functionary with Dean. She hadn't ever anticipated his touch the way she did Dylan's. And the kissing? Wow. Dylan Mason was a master kisser.
If I don't stop now, sweetheart, we won't be making the afternoon activities, because I'll have better things for us both to do.
She was okay with better, which surprised her. She licked her lips and let him guide her to Peanut.
Put your hand here,
he said as he settled her good hand on the front of the saddle, then helped situate her foot in the stirrup. Before she could argue or question the intelligence of his actions, she was atop Peanut. How the hell had that happened? She peered down at Dylan. Peanut was a really big horse, like bigger than she'd expected height-wise. He's so tall.
Just under 17 hands, he commented.
She looked at her hands, then down at Dylan.
Yours or mine?
He smirked. Her heart thundered as he mounted behind her.
Let's go riding before I decide to stay in here and kiss you some more instead.
Mary was okay with kissing. Really okay. Peanut was an awesome tour companion. He plodded along in a slow gait and responded quickly when Dylan nudged him with his legs or pulled on the reins. The Mason land was gorgeous. He knew every inch, regaled her with stories from his childhood, family history. Time halted as she listened, leaned against his powerful frame, burrowed within his arms. She listened, laughed, and teased. He brought them to a stop beneath a thick, huge pecan tree. He pulled out a blanket from the basket beneath the tree and spread it on the ground. A smile crept across his handsome face as he spread the rest of the stuff out. Her throat closed tight, her chest swelled. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
It's a bit corny now that I think about it, he said. I woke up early this morning and figured this would make a good break in the day.
It's sweet. She sat beside him. I love it. Mary slid half a sandwich to the side and looked at him. A knowing gleam lit his eyes.
What?
She asked, defensively.
I made Peanut her own. We'll feed her together, after you've eaten.
He opened a bottle of water and passed it over.
You didn't grow up near farm and ranch land.
City girl, born and bred.
She took a swig of water. Mom was a teacher. Dad was a mechanic. Neither of them understood why I loved computers so much.
Siblings?
A half-brother, older. He didn't like me much. Her stomach soured like it always did when she thought about Ralph.
He had issues.
He hurt you?
Sometimes. I was younger than him. He played rough. Mom and Dad got upset with me for telling on him so much. Eventually, I didn't bother.
Why had she said that? Must be the magic peanut butter and jelly.
They had bigger troubles, and Ralph worked hard. The sign of a good man is how hard he works, you know?
Bitterness coated Mary's tongue. No matter how long she'd tried, Dad had never seen her as more than a problem, a chore he handled in between taking out the trash and mowing the lawn.
Dad didn't expect to have another kid when he married Mom. I was a mistake.
No child is a mistake,
Dylan growled.
They still together?
Oh, yes. Mom would never leave Dad, ever. If there's a problem, you don't retreat. You dig in and work harder.
Mary pulled off the crust and took a bite. Don't get me wrong. I had a good life. They gave me everything I needed. Dylan studied her a moment, but said nothing. She suspected the silence on his end was tough. Dad would hate him. Mom, too.
They're in Boston, where I grew up. She rose, grabbing one of the extra sandwiches piled up between her and Dylan.
It must be great growing up in a small town, kind of like one big family.
Where everyone knows your business and has an opinion about it, they share often and loudly.
He groused.
You and your brothers are a focal point.
What makes you think that?
He asked. The way everyone watched us at Bubba's, it was a wild guess.
Masons have been around as long as Rosino has. We're a founding family. The Burtons on the other side of town are the other big family. Between them and us, we keep most of Rosino employed, in one way or another. Dallas helps Riley and the ranch foreman run things. The rest of us stay focused on K-Bar.
And Warrior's Path?
She offered half of the sandwich to Peanut.
It's a wonderful program from what I've heard. You're going to affect a lot of lives. Help a lot of people, Dylan.
Everyone should have a safe haven somewhere, and someone who steers the ship when things get rough.
Ah, I hear the Navy in you now, she teased.
Bite your tongue, he teased. We'd better head back before Marshall sends out a search party.
Mary glanced at her watch, startled to see they'd been gone for 2 hours. Everyone would be waiting, and for once in her life, she didn't care about the job or anyone's expectations. She wanted to stay there, under the pecan tree with Dylan and Peanut, eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Where have you been? Riley demanded. Mom and Marshall were about to start scouring the ranch.
I took Mary out to the tree, introduced her to Peanut.
He replied as he tossed Peanut's reins to her. Mary tore out of the barn like it was on fire, headed straight for the compound. So much for getting her to focus on something other than work. They'd had a great afternoon, though. She held her pass close, not offering much in the way of details, but he'd read through enough of the lines to know he didn't like her family.
Grandpa's tree? She asked, eyes wide.
Dylan, Mom hears you took her out there, and she'll be planning a wedding. No kidding. What were you thinking?
None of your business, Riles. Back off.
I don't like this, Dylan.
Riley remained close, even though he walked away.
She's a nice girl, really nice. She doesn't deserve this.
Deserve this?
He repeated.
To be the rebound girl?
Back off, Riles. It's none of your business. Mary's a great woman, one who's been through more than most people could handle. She's got a huge burden on her shoulders and needs a friend. I want to be that friend. I swore to protect her, so of course I'm keeping her close. She's my responsibility as long as she's here.
Dylan glared at Riley.
Back off.
See? That's what I'm saying. She's falling for you. Don't string her along. Rebound with some other woman. Someone who doesn't mind you purging Haley from your system, then moving on.
Riley unsaddled Peanut.
Mary's too sweet to use like that.
Leave that bitch out of this.
You've got to deal with what happened at some point, Dylan. Everyone's worried. Hell, even Marshall was saying just last night that he thought you should have moved on by now.
Fuck. When the hell had his sex life become a family discussion point? He didn't want them sniffing around Mary, making her uncomfortable. He sure as hell wasn't going to share what he was starting to feel about the woman with his little sister. Hell no.
I've got to get to the compound. They're waiting on me.
He charged toward the door.
And keep your nose out of my business, Riles.
Frustrated that nothing in his life stayed private long, he headed toward the compound and slammed straight into Mary. He reached out and grabbed her shoulders. Wide, blue eyes peered up at him, her face drained of color as she looked away.
Fuck. Mary.
Sorry, I came back, realizing I needed to help with Peanut.
She swallowed and pushed from his arms.
And I forgot to say thank you for the wonderful time. Guess I should have stayed away.
Dylan looked back at the barn, then down at the woman who'd obviously heard too much of the wrong thing and nothing of what he really wanted her to know.
Riles noses around. I don't want her messing around in my business. I say what she needs to hear to back off.
Sure. It's not my business either, Dylan.
She pointed toward the compound.
I'll meet you there.
Damn it, Mary. Look at me.
He cupped her face.
I'm not having a misunderstanding hanging between us. She has no idea what she's saying. You are not a rebound.
I know. I'm a friend you're protecting, a responsibility.
She repeated the words monotone, but her sadness and hurt filled her eyes. Hurt he'd created because of some bullshit need to keep his family from his private life.
You mentioned how living in a small town must have been great. Remember what I said?
Everyone knew your business and had an opinion.
She whispered.
Exactly. You just heard it in action. I haven't even wrapped my own head around whatever the hell you've stirred in me. And I've got the entire family offering up their thoughts on how I should or shouldn't proceed.
Dylan cupped her face.
She looked into his eyes. I stir you up?
Fuck.
Dylan's mouth had run off without his brain.
Yeah, you do. I'm not ready to share what went on with Haley, but I will. I'd like you to hear it from me, not the local gossip mill and not my family.
Okay.
She settled her hand on his.
I'm not good with the whole dating thing. I'm really boring. So I know this isn't like we're dating or anything, just so you know. I know it's a temporary thing, something to pass the time.
You aren't an itch I'm scratching, or a rebound fling, or anything else. I don't know what the hell you are, Mary. I'll be honest. I'm floored. One minute, I don't want you and what you might mean anywhere near me. The next, I'm ready to rip my brother's head off for winking at you. We're neck deep in trouble, and it's all swimming around you. I hate that. I hate not knowing who or what's around the corner and knowing things are about to explode in our faces.
and I hate not knowing what to do about you. Whatever this chemistry is between us, I don't want to hurt you, Mary. I won't ever hurt you.
Chapter 11. Mary took a swig of the beer and tried to ignore it taste like horse piss. When in Rome, she squeezed her eyes shut and slammed the bottle down on the same white folding table in Bubba's she'd occupied the last time she was there. Apparently, it was the Mason table. Who knew? The Masons were Rosino royalty. If they earned stares when they'd entered to eat, her companion Riley had definitely turned heads when they walked in after dark to hang. Mary hadn't wanted to hang. She wasn't the type to wind down after a long day and hang. She usually popped a couple ibuprofen, swigged a bottled water, and started a new day. Why waste hours on frivolous things like socializing? But the woman was doggedly persistent. She'd tossed her in a truck and headed out for Bubba's before anyone even realized they'd left the ranch. Based on the number of times Riley's phone rang and she clicked ignore, the guys weren't exactly happy. Hopefully, that translated to a short hang time. Dylan would show up like a white knight and take her back. All she had to do was sit, wait, socialize. Oh, God. Small talk wasn't her forte. Talk wasn't her forte. Fortunately, Riley didn't require two-way communication. All she needed was an occasional nod, a smile every now and then, and a warm body across the table. Her mouth ran faster than Mary's analysis programs. And that was saying a lot. But the subject matter was more than interesting, seeing how she was spilling anything and everything about her brothers. "Dylan got a rap sheet at the age of 10. Can you believe that?" Riley took a sip of her beer and shook her head. Blonde curls bobbed. "The criminal mastermind of the Mason brood. Nice," Mary laughed. "I always had a thing for bad boys." Heat rose in her cheeks when the woman stilled and a twinkle gleamed in her gaze. Crap. How many of the damn beers had she had? She eyed the heap beside them, realized her rescue was long overdue. "Be back. I've got to pee."
"I'll hold the fort down. Oh, we need more beer."
Riley motioned for the waitress. Mary fled. She headed straight toward the sanctuary of a lone toilet and lockable door. She should have insisted on bringing some of the other girls. Riley had wanted a one-on-one bonding time, whatever the heck that was supposed to be. She thought Dylan was serious about her. Mary needed to cut the cord, explain the situation so she and the rest of the Mason clan would back off him. He didn't know what the chemistry between them meant any more than she did. This was ridiculous. She'd led covert missions deep into heavily entrenched enemy territory, and she was cowering in the bathroom, terrified of a 100-pound blonde in kick-ass red boots. Pathetic. Really, really pathetic. Why did Riley intimidate the hell out of her? Because she was everything Mary wasn't. Confident, gorgeous, a social butterfly, an important person in Dylan's life. This wasn't a gauntlet. It was beers in a freaking bar. Mary washed her hands and headed back to the table. Empty. Where had she gone? She looked around. No Riley. Unease rose in her belly.
"Where did Riley go?"
she shouted into the room. She was Riley Mason. Emphasis on Mason. Everyone knew her. She couldn't have just disappeared.
"Some guy came in, said Marshall sent him. There was an emergency at the ranch,"
someone said.
"I tried to stop them. making sure things were cool, but she said not to worry, that Hera had her back.
She wouldn't have left without me, Mary gritted through clenched teeth. Riley was responsible, a protective mason through and through. Mary had been her charge on this venture into town for a beer. She knew what had happened to Mary. No way would she leave her alone, which meant she didn't have a choice. Someone took her. Some guy had walked in and made her leave. Stupid, stupid idiots. This was her fault. She shouldn't have left Riley alone. Phone! She held out her hand. When it remained empty, she repeated the order in a scream. Phone! She dialed the arsenal. This is Edge. I need the guys at Bubba's stat.
They're already on their way. Dylan figured out you escaped. He's not happy,
the man said.
Not smart, Edge. You don't leave property without one of us.
Tell them to step on it. Riley's been taken.
Come again?
The voice growled. She's gone. Some bastard walked in and took her while I was taking a piss, and every idiot in the place let him. She nailed everyone with a glare. You've got some seriously stupid townsfolk in these parts. She hung up on whoever it was and tossed the phone at the guy. A lone piece of paper sat on the table, beneath the beer Riley had been inhaling. Your girl for ours. We want Edge. Riley should have fought, yelled, done anything except walk out of a crowded bar with a kidnapper. Nausea pitched the beer in Mary's stomach. She swallowed, fighting the urge to puke. God, if they hurt her, Dylan would never forgive Mary. This was all her fault.
Lady, you okay? Maybe you should sit down.
The helpful man moved to touch her. She punched out.
Okay, okay, easy.
They had Riley. And what the hell did she mean? Not to worry, that Hera had her back. Oh my God, Hera. Mary lunged for the man's phone, still on the table where she'd tossed it.
Yeah.
Edge, get Quillery and Addie. Ask them why Hera would have Riley's back. She sighed, relieved there was hope. When the voice hung on, she spat.
Now, asshole! Not next year, now!
Mary, what's wrong? This place is chaos. Vi's voice on the other end of the line was the hope she needed. They took Riley. She mentioned something about Hera having her back. Why? Vi whispered on the other end. She heard Addie on the other end, something about a bracelet. Of course. The trackers. We're on it. Hang on. Dylan and Marshall are headed your way. Should be there any second. We've got about 50 or so commandos going apeshit, waiting for a location. The doors thundered open. Dylan and his brothers entered in a whirlwind of rage she felt from across the room. She vaulted toward him, ignoring the tension in his body. She huddled close, the tremble more noticeable in her body now that she was near him. They took her, she whispered. I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Enough, Edge, Marshall growled. Focus, Riley.
Tracker, she had a tracker. Addie gave her a bracelet. Riley knows we can track her. Vi's getting coordinates.
Let's move,
Dylan ordered. Both men headed out the door. She followed, unsure what else to do. Dylan opened the back door, and she crawled in. He jumped into the front passenger seat. She heard the ringing through the vehicle's speakers. Cord's voice came through the line.
How the hell did this shit happen? I'm gonna beat her ass when this is over.
Signals at the old Burton place, he said.
Right at our back door.
Teams are heading through the backcountry to get there now. We're close. Mary's got twisted. Close. Close was good, right?
She felt useless, sitting in the backseat as they raced to save the sister she'd put into danger. She shouldn't have left the ranch. She knew better, and she couldn't even do anything to help fix it. Anger consumed her thoughts. She didn't get to make this about her. Riley was in trouble. "Keep quiet and stay out of the way." The voice from her past thundered in her ears, tunneling her mind to another time, another place.
"You're useless, like always. Should have made the stupid bitch abort you. Then I wouldn't be stuck supporting your worthless ass and banging that ugly mom of yours every night. Biggest mistake of my life."
The vehicle lurched to a stop. She unbuckled and slid quietly out before Marshall and Dylan ordered her to stay. If giving herself up got Riley back, that was okay. The arsenal had Vi, Bree, and Rhea safe. Hera was theirs. Once their sister was secure, they could deal with getting Mary back.
"What are you doing?"
Dylan asked, crowding her against the truck.
"Going with you. They want to trade me for her."
"And you're just going to march in there and give yourself up,"
Marshall commented.
"It's my fault Riley's in there."
Dylan and Marshall exchanged thunderous expressions filled with anger and something else she couldn't identify. Dylan reached into the back of the truck and pulled out a bulletproof vest. He slid it over her without comment, secured the sides.
"Stay behind me at all times, okay?"
"Okay,"
she whispered, tears in her gaze.
"What are you thinking right now, Mary?"
he asked.
"That I'm really sorry they took Riley. I got her and all of you in this mess. I'll fix it, though. I promise."
"Fuck," Marshall cursed. "Handle this or I will."
Mary watched him storm away, confused. She blinked away the stray tears and willed the fear clawing her insides back. There would be plenty of time to panic later. Now, she needed to focus. Marshall had been right at Bubba's. Focus on Riley. Getting her out was all that mattered. She'd go in, give herself up, and buy what time she could so reinforcements could come and help Marshall and Dylan. That'd keep Riley safe. Mary had what the assholes wanted. Maybe. She still didn't understand why they were so obsessed with her rather than Vi.
"Mary, we aren't trading you. Is that what you thought?"
"Why not?"
She looked up at him, utterly confused.
"It's the smart play. We go in, switch, it buys time. Then you get me out when reinforcements come. I'm okay with the play, Dylan."
"Well, I'm not. Let's go."
He settled a gun in her hand.
"You trained on weapons at Hive, right?"
She nodded.
"Okay, then let's go."
The tremble rippling through her was a problem. If gunfire was exchanged, she'd hit Dylan or Marshall just as easily as the bad guy. And if Riley was in the middle? A shiver coursed through Mary's blood. Rage quickly followed. They'd taken the woman to shake her up, and it worked. They picked on her because she was the perceived weakness of her group. The one who'd break easier, probably because they had her file, read the background. She filed the clue in her mind and moved on. Riley needed an extraction. Dylan and Marshall cursed and moved double time up the steps and into the entrance. She followed, assessing their surroundings to understand what they saw to make them move quicker. Then she heard,
"Tell me who the hell you are. Why did you take me?"
"Bitch, you're crazy."
"No, I'm a little pissed. I'm sitting there minding my own dang business, and you and your jackhole friend think you can waltz into my town, my favorite bar, and snatch me? With half the town watching, you're the crazy one." Riley's voice echoed from down the hall. Marshall held up a hand,
Dylan froze, took Mary's arm so she'd do the same.
Here's the deal. You're in a heap of trouble. I don't know what they did while they were gone, but I've got six big brothers. Six! Every one of them knows 1,000 ways to get idiots like you, then kill them. All while you're still breathing, feeling. So, you're telling me everything you know because I'm pretty sure I heard a truck pull up outside, which means at least a few of them are about to storm this place. I'm a lot easier to work with.
Did she? Mary broke off the question when she saw Dylan's grin. Marshall shook his head, as if not believing the situation, and headed into what Mary assumed used to be the master bedroom. Riley stood over a guy trussed up to a chair with rope. A stranger stood with a gun drawn on the man. Anger thinned his lips and darkened his otherwise handsome face.
Brandt,
Dylan greeted.
I was about to give you a call, but she wanted a few moments,
Brandt said.
Saw them dragging her out, raising hell. Followed. Everyone back in town okay? You know, Rosino, things slide off people's backs pretty quick,
Marshall commented.
Thanks for keeping her secure. You sure you don't want a job? Had enough of the cloak and dagger stuff. Besides, I've got my hands full helping Uncle Chet run the clinic in town.
Brandt flashed Mary a smile.
These boys are always trying to recruit me. I prefer patching people up, not making the wounds.
They could use a couple patchers, she replied. I'm Mary. Thanks for saving Riley. Please, Riley added. Don't swell his head any bigger than it is. I had this under control.
You let them take you,
Marshall thundered, voice low enough to shake the ground. It's what you would have done. She and her friends are out at the ranch hiding, and you are totally okay with it. Why? They deserve answers. Riley pointed at Mary angrily.
They aren't exactly cowering scared kittens, Riles. You don't know what all they've done, but trust me, nothing about those women's actions is kitten-like.
Marshall said, I'm not stupid, Marsh. I know what they did to Mary. I see it in her eyes every time she looks at me. She's broken, haunted. I already have one best friend ghosting through life the past few months. I'm not sitting back letting assholes take another woman down. Not when I can do something this time.
Come on, let's go.
Dylan tagged Mary's arm and pulled.
I want you secure.
Wait, what's she mean?
Mary asked.
Later.
His jaw twitched. Dylan, I want to know. What does she mean she's got a best friend ghosting through life? He glanced at Marshall, who shook his head. Great. They weren't gonna answer. Fine. She'd get her answers from the source. She closed the distance between herself and Riley, who was shoving a weapon she'd just tucked into her jeans like disarming a bad guy was something she did every day. A Mason through and through. Brandt chuckled and slapped Marshall on the back.
Good luck, man. She's on a mission.
Are you okay? Mary asked her.
Yeah, you?
Concern filled the woman's voice. Why do these pricks want you? This one's too stupid to know. Come on, let's head back to the ranch. We'll talk there. I want to know what you meant about the ghosting through life, and I'm not going to get my answers from Dylan.
No, my brothers are too protective. Alpha males who think we women need protecting. From what I've seen, in your case, they could be right. But you and your friends kicked ass with that show and tell today.
She kicks ass because the beautiful brains behind her do,
Dylan commented.
Let's go, Riles. We'll talk on the way. Marshall's staying with your new friends until someone comes in for a pickup.
You aren't hauling him in with us? Working him over?
Riles asked as she glared at the oily-haired man strung up.
Jesus, what the hell do you think we do?
Marshall asked.
You're the one with the huge compounds and all the G.I. Joe ass-kickers on his payroll. I'm just filling in the blanks.
Riley shrugged. His friends passed out when I broke his arm. I used the move you and Jesse taught me after he tried to rip my shirt off. A thunderstorm rolled into the room. Marshall's fists flexed.
Oh, really?
Hey, now, that wasn't me.
The strung-up asshole shouted.
You gotta listen. I'm hired muscle, not even that good at it, okay? 2 G's is a lot to pass up, you know.
Keep talking,
Dylan ordered as he unholstered his weapon and stood on the other side of the man. Close. Sweat broke out across the man's brow.
I don't know anything. We were supposed to get the woman, the ugly mousy brunette, then call a number once we got in San Antonio. That's all I know. Swear.
Number,
Marshall growled. The man rattled it off. Dylan punched keys on his phone, then headed toward Mary, weapon holstered.
Let's go.
I can do the trace on the number when we get back to the ranch. I remember it, she offered.
Cords on it. He'll bring Vi in if needed.
I'm the one they keep targeting, Dylan. I'm not sitting by and letting your brothers and my best friend do all the heavy lifting on this one. I want in on whatever the hell is going on.
Someone just walked into the bar of my small town and took my little sister to get you. I don't want to stand here out in the open and have a conversation right now, Mary. I want you in the ranch, in the compound, in a bed. Is that too much to ask?
Yes. Yes, it was. Mary glared up at the man who'd turned her life upside down. The ugly, mousy brunette. That's how the asshole inside had described her. No, that's how the asshole who hired the asshole described her. Is that what Dylan saw when he looked at her? And why did the thought hurt so much?
Stop eye-fucking her and get us home, Riley commented as she wrapped an arm around Mary and dragged them toward the truck.
Eye-fucking me? Please, as if.
Her pulse quickened. Her body tingled as she looked over her shoulder at Dylan. Pale moonlight and the truck's headlights spotlighted his reddened face.
Wow. Okay.
Unsure what to do with whatever that was, she climbed into the back seat with Riley and shifted her focus to getting answers about the ghosting thing. Mary felt useless. Dylan and his brothers weren't about to let her help with the problem she'd dropped on their doorstep. To them, she was a hapless female needing protection. She was a trained operative. Okay, a back office operative, but still, Mary didn't do idle, ever.
Chapter 12.
So, let me get this straight. Addie's voice lowered an octave as she sat on the bed beside Rhea and Bree. Some asshole walked into the bar and grabbed Riley, out in the open where everyone could see?
Yep, pretty much,
Vi replied.
It was stupid amateur hour.
Definitely, Rhea said. And that's suicidal. I mean, have you seen her brothers? That's like poking a whole pride of lions.
Mary had showered and changed when she got back to the compound. Riley had too, and was now pacing the other side of the room, muttering to herself. Things with her brothers hadn't gone well. The entire compound had heard the 7-way shouting match an hour ago. Dylan and his brothers had headed out for parts unknown.
Probably to shoot guns or do something else manly, to get rid of the brotherly protectiveness riding them hard. I think it's sweet how protective they are. It's obvious how much they love you. Mary commented, I always wanted a big brother.
Yeah, which one do you want? I know, you can have Marshall. Arrogant ass.
Riley paced.
The dumb asses actually thought I shouldn't have let the two stupid idiots kidnap me. I should have made my stand at the bar. Sure, I could have kept myself secure, especially with a bar full of people to help, but what would we have learned? Nothing. I mean, have they completely forgotten someone's out to get you, Mary?
Why you? Why not me? Vi asked. Best I can surmise, I'm the perceived weakness. I had the most unstable home life and will have the most emotional fallout as a result. It's a numbers game, Mary replied. Whoever hired them called me the ugly mousy brunette. Mousy? That implies familiarity, right? To identify me as such so easily.
You know that's not true, right, sweetie? Bree asked gently.
I couldn't care less what the people trying to kidnap me think, she argued.
Still, it's not true, Rhea replied. And you are so not mousy. Who even uses that word anymore?
Mousy. Nervous, shy, or timid, lacking in presence or charisma, Mary said. That's who they think I am. There's a clue in there, right? I mean, who do I come across to as shy and timid at Hive? You're assuming this is Hive. What if it's not? Addie asked. What if it's someone else? Who, though? It's not like Mary and I have a life outside Hive. We've lived and breathed work so long, it's instinctual. The only other thing we've lived more is Hera. And no one even knows about her except you all, Thalen and the Arsenal crew now. Vi punched the pillow in her lap. You're right, Mary. This has to be a clue. We need a whiteboard.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Addie rose.
We are not going down the geek trail. You four brainiacs whiteboard everything. I'm not doing this. Fuck, how did I get stuck on babysitting duty? I should have gone with Dylan and his brothers. I'm not cut out for this shit.
Ads, you know you wanna.
Rhea sing-songed with a smile.
What's a whiteboard and... why is she all red-faced? Riley asked.
Anytime we have a problem, we can't.